Storytelling pro Evropu.
Storytelling para Europa.
Storytelling for Europe.
Storytelling pre Europu.
Misha Kapustin. To love God means to love people.
Born into a Jewish family, he was never brought up to be religious. Ever since he was small, he knew he was a Jew. But it took some years for him to discover his faith in God. Born in Russia, he escaped a war twice before finding refuge in Slovakia. This is the liberal rabbi Misha Kapustin. I may come from a Jewish family, but we never followed any religious traditions in our family. My father was both a member of the Soviet Navy and the Communist Party. I remember traveling a lot with my family. I was born in the Urals, Russia, in a town of Orenburg. Later, because of my father's job, we moved to Petropavlovsk, near the Pacific Ocean. After my father had retired, we settled in Georgia. Not long after, we moved there, the civil war broke out, and we decided to leave for the Krim. My mother's first memory would be that of the burning Volga River. She was about 2 years old and lived amidst the war. Our grandmother managed to flee the place with her children by taking the last train eastwards and settling in the Urals. Her husband, my grandfather, followed them once the war had ended. My paternal grandparents were very religious. However, a lot changed after the Second World War. I don't think I know a family who was not affected by the Holocaust. The times were hard for people, and a lot of them disguised their faith. I remember being about 10 years old when my father took me to a synagogue. It was at the Jewish New Year in Georgia, and his first time in a synagogue for many years. I was overwhelmed, although I didn't understand what was happening. From a young age, I was aware that I was Jewish. When I happened to forget it, my anti-Semitic friends always liked to remind me. I encountered anti-Semitism, hostility or prejudice against Jews as representatives of the Jewish religion, ethnic group or race, when I was about 8 years old, when my peers began accusing me of drinking blood on Easter, as Jews apparently did. My father encountered anti-Semitism more frequently. When he was young, he was able to defend himself with his fists because he was very strong and a good boxer. Worst times came during his career, when his supervisor kept trying to persuade him to change his nationality. He often asked him why he should change his nationality if both of his parents were Jewish. In the end, he didn't do it, not even when they promised him a promotion. I grew up in an assimilated Soviet family. At home, we have never practiced Judaism. I was more of an agnostic. I didn't really concern myself with the question of God and belief. However, during secondary school, I started to look for a spiritual path, a sort of personal religion that would provide answers to my questions. I would explore a variety of religious orientations and philosophies. I had searched until I realized that what I'd been looking for was actually within me, and that all it took was for me to acknowledge it. I started to immerse myself more into Judaism and realized that being a Jew also meant being a part of some kind of civilization. The Jewish nation has existed for a long time, for over 3,000 years. In every aspect of Jewish life, religion can be found, whether it is in education, literature, or art. I came to realize that for me to become a religious person, I didn't have to give up my attitudes and opinions. My relationship with God eventually resulted in my giving up a successful career as a lawyer in my first year at university and switching to religious studies in Kiev. Later, I returned to the Krim and worked there in my home community. I realized that that was what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. I became a scholar at a rabbi institute in London and spent a year in Israel. One famous German rabbi who survived the Holocaust and lost all of his relatives once said something that is also written in Talmud, the Book of Jewish Laws. People should love God, but how? We can love God by loving other people. When we love people, we also love God. The most important Jewish values are ethics. They are about a mutual respect and not doing to others what we would not do to ourselves. As a matter of fact, everyone is designed in God's image. When everyone understands this, they won't be doing anything bad to each other. We all have freedom of choice and the right to say no. Even God can sometimes say no to some things in our daily lives when the right time hasn't come yet. There is a lot of talk about this, but hardly ever we know what it means. Last but not least, love is also an important value in our lives. When a person can love, they are not only capable of giving, but also receiving. Some people give everything they have, but if they are not capable of receiving, I'm not sure how long their love can last. I often spend time with people, including youth and children. I get asked all sorts of questions, for instance, about the kippa, yarmulke, which I wear on my head, or about the role of Jesus in Judaism, also what my religion allows and forbids. Some people ask me about God, but there is no universal answer. God to me is the creator of everyone and everything. He is my God as well as everybody's God. It's the God that gave me qualities such as to think, analyze, create, and have freedom of choice. He helps me make my decisions and answers my prayers. In Judaism, we believe in one God who has different names. We usually call him Adonai, which translates my Lord. Myths tend to circulate in society about the Jews being wealthy. The truth is, we have very rich traditions which make us wealthy. However, it does not apply economically. I have encountered many poor Jews, even in countries like England or the United States. Not everyone is wealthy, just like not everyone is poor. That applies to any religion. If a person seeks education, is capable of work, and makes sure their children seek education too, that itself is wealth. My family have overcome a lot of obstacles in their life. With my parents, we had to flee a civil war in Georgia. The second time I fled a country with my own family was after the Russian annexation of the Krim. I really liked my life and my work in the Krim. We used to have three big synagogues there and a couple of communities without a synagogue. I felt great there and used to dream big, but then everything changed. What I didn't want was for other people to decide where I would live, how I would live, and when to be quiet. It was clear to me that I wasn't going to live in the Krim if it was to be Russian. My friends advised me to wait, but I wanted at least my family, my wife and two children, to leave. At first, my wife agreed, but the next day she said either all of us went or none of us. So we decided to go. There was no flight service at that point, so we took a train. We arrived in Kiev with a pram and some baggage. That was all we took with us. I had no idea what to do next. Eventually, a friend from London helped me by informing a Jewish community in Slovakia about my situation, and they suggested that we come over. After getting to know each other a bit, a decision was made that I would stay in Slovakia as a rabbi. And so I work as a liberal rabbi, running Jewish services and lecturing on Jewish tradition to children in Sunday school. I travel around Slovakia and meet those who have survived the Holocaust. They teach me a lot. I like Slovakia. I can feel people's reactions, and I know that a lot of people are not indifferent to others and help each other with simple things. Their language and their culture are similar to the one I was raised in. I don't regret a single day spent in this country.
Project Storytelling for Europe is funded by the European Union and Erasmus Plus programme.